Not too long back, I was on the way back from Bristol, and it's a road probably many of you have traveled. I went down to Bath, and after a fun day out in Bath, I decided, okay, it's time to go home. And on my way back, it was a road that I had taken many a time, and I knew that there was a section of the road, probably about 2 miles long, that had dividers, construction dividers in between. And as many of you are well aware, with the extreme rapid progress of the HS2 right near us, I was familiar that these construction dividers have been there for quite a while. So the road was split. It was a three-lane road. Most of the young girls have seen motorways. And it was a three-lane motorway. There was two lanes on the left. There was the barricade, and there was a third lane, or the speed track, whatever, on the right. And I had been down that road so many times that I knew that just probably about, let's say, 50 meters before my exit, the lane on the right merges back in, right? So all the signboards, all the posts, all the construction notices, everything said get in lane, right? By which they meant get either into the first lane or the second lane, because that's where you need to be to take the exit. But because of my extensive experience, which nobody else on the road had, I knew that if I stay on the third lane right up to the very end, I can jump past all the queue, come to the very end, and jump in. Right? So this was my plan. In my head, it worked out beautifully. On that lovely day, I decided that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be a sheep anymore. I'm not going to stand in queue. I'm going to get in my lane. I had everything planned out. I'm going to come to the very end. Nobody else knows that the barricades stop and you can cut in legally, of course. And that's what I decided I'm going to do. So I went on to the fast track and I smiled and waved at everyone else who was in the first two tracks, thinking, oh, these people have no idea. They don't know what I know. Right? And I kept driving straight down. And I drove and I saw more people and I smiled at more people. And in myself, I was trying to, but mentally I was patting myself on the back. Right? I've saved 8 minutes or whatever. Right? But little did I know that as soon as I reached the very end, everything was according to plan. But there were like two 18-wheelers who decided to pull in the middle just to have a cup of tea. I don't know. But it just so happened that because they were there in the exact space that I needed to cut back and take the exit, I missed my opportunity. I missed the chance, and then I had to go take a picnic around the M4 and come back 2 days later. But the point is, there was something in my mind, right? I had been down that road many times. I have seen all the signs. I have seen people standing in the queue. I knew which exit I had to take. But in my mind, I had a plan. And my plan was, I need to do certain things, which obviously the others don't know about. And of course, at the very end, I can quickly jump in. Dear brother, dear sister, dear children, sometimes I feel that many of us have come and heard the gospel. We know a lot of our friends who visit occasionally, frequently. We have neighbors, we have friends in school, in college, wherever we are, with whom we have shared the gospel. But in everyone's mind, they think, we know what's going to happen. Yes, I've heard the good news, I've heard the gospel. I love to be saved, but not just now. I know when I'm going to be saved. But dear believers, dear friends, there is no guarantee about what will happen. There's no guarantee about the end of the day today. We are blessed that we are here today, this evening, once again with the opportunity to hear the gospel, once again to hear the opportunity of the good news. And if we make the most of that opportunity, there's going to be great rejoicing in heaven. But even more so, we would never have the thought that I knew I had to take the exit. I knew I had to get in the lane. I knew I saw all the signs. Everyone told me. But because of my own folly, because of my own overestimation of who I am, I missed my opportunity. Dear brethren, today it brings me great joy to present to you a man who did not miss the opportunity. There's a very lovely individual in Scripture who saw an opportunity and took it. For those of you who have a Bible, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. It's all right if you don't have a Bible, I will try to read with my best pronunciation. Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. We'll read three more verses. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, those the people around, saying that he has gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is the son, a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's all for our reading this evening. There are a few verses, but I will read them out as we go along. Now, this passage probably came to my mind because I think it is a very simple passage. It's a very simple, straightforward passage. The more I thought about it, I couldn't stop singing the song in my head, the Sunday school song. Right, I'm sure many of the adults and I'm sure the children would know it. No matter what, the Sunday school song, it was so simple and so straightforward. And then I thought, for the purpose of the meeting, I need to break it down. So I've broken it down into eight little nuggets. Right, eight nuggets of what has happened in this passage. It's nothing complicated. It's just to give it a little bit of structure. So four things that happened before the Lord saw him. And four things that happened after. All right? So for those of you who are following along, we know obviously the first verse tells us that Zacchaeus lived in a place called Jericho. Now, historically, there is significance to Jericho. We know from the events that took place regarding the wall and Joshua. And there was a curse associated with Jericho. Right? Initially, the curse was that everything inside that is not consecrated to the Lord, everything is accursed. And the only family and the only people that managed to escape was Rahab and her household and whoever was with her. But furthermore, there was a curse placed upon the city that whoever builds or rebuilds will have to pay a price. So the location of this particular event is in a city that has not so great history. Right? Now, in a place that doesn't have a very big, significant, glorious history, we now have an individual who, Scripture tells us, was the chief among the publicans. And he was very rich. Now, for those of you who have done the study, extensive theological study of scripture, there are X number of words, which I don't know, you might know. But all I do know is that every single word that has been included in scripture has a very clear purpose. There's no story writing going on over here. So first off, we are introduced to a man who lives in a city that doesn't have the best reputation historically. And in that city, he's involved in a profession which doesn't have the best reputation. I'm not sure about you, but I'm not a big fan of taxes. And he was the chief of taxes there, right? Which made him a very rich man, because later on in the passage, we read that there were activities that he undertook in order to line his own pockets. So he was very rich. He was in high society. So he was living what you would imagine to be a good life. Now, when we go on in the verse, we read, "And he sought to see Jesus for who he was." Now, here this individual has heard of a person called the Lord Jesus. Yeah? And he knew that he's passing through the city and he wanted to see him. He wanted to see who he was, probably from a curiosity point of view. But he just wanted to see, why is everyone attracted to him? And then we find that he wasn't liked. That is my inference, because obviously the crowd was not letting him see. Right? And this is something that we may see in our day-to-day lives, because it's one thing in the office, it's one thing when you're under the ruler, but if an individual that you don't like comes up behind you, I don't know, in the Tesco queue, you may not be in the best mood to let him come in front, because that's one place that you can block him. So we have all these things where he could not see. And then obviously it says clearly that he was of little stature. Now that is also important, because scripturally we have different individuals who are given different adjectives, right? We have Esther in the Old Testament, who's called beautiful. We have Saul, who's called tall. Right? So there are attributes given to different individuals in Scripture. But in the New Testament, we have attributes given. But with this particular regard, it's only Zacchaeus who's called short in stature. Now, these four points, so this is up to the point where he climbs upon the tree and the Lord sees him, I think can be broken down into our day-to-day life. So the first one being, when we live in the world around us, there might be situations where we feel or we believe that we have to pull ourselves up by our own shoestrings. Does that make sense? We have to work hard. We have to put in the effort. We have to be the ones who are only looking out for ourselves in order to be the very best that we can be. But without Christ, if we take all the shells apart, sometimes it's just down to a question of self-worth. People do a lot of things, like Zacchaeus here. He became the chief publican and he did all the nasty activities so that he could be rich. Because when he went out in society, he wanted to be the one in power. He wanted to be the one in authority. And sometimes when we break apart, I'm not going to name names, but we are all familiar with a political figure now who is very high on power. When we break all the shells apart, we find that what they're actually looking for or earning for is self-worth. Because they feel that without imposing themselves on someone else, they have no value. But what the scripture tells us? In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 36, 37, I'll read. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, this passage of scripture tells us God's attitude towards us. He's got the whole world on one hand, and he's got your soul on the other hand. dear brother, dear sister, dear friend, there's no need to go chasing behind the world in order to get a fulfillment of self-worth. There's no need to go chasing around the world in order to feel that you're being acknowledged and you're getting into a position of power. Because the creator and sustainer of the universe places more value on your individual soul than the whole world around us. The second part, where he wanted to see the Lord, I think probably it might have been like an academic kind of a nature, because he wanted to make sense, right? We like to make sense. We are rational human beings. He wanted to make sense. He wanted to see the meaning or the purpose. Why is everyone attracted to the Lord Jesus? In 2015, I think, if I'm not mistaken, a very famous political figure came to Dubai, and I was there, my brother was there, and I still remember he had a scheduled speech, or it was basically an event, and it was held in the stadium, the Dubai Cricket Stadium, and the capacity of the stadium was 40,000 people. And what they later predicted is that there were about 100,000 people there. Just to see that one person and just to hear him speak. Now, obviously, myself being the best planner I am, had no tickets, nothing to go there. And what we decided is, as some of you may have seen in pictures, Dubai has a lot of multi-level flyovers. Right, you have one flyover going this way, this way, this way. And eventually, you can, if you get to the top flyover, you are effectively about 10 stories high in the air. So what we decided is, okay, we are going to go and get ourselves to the top of the flyover, park on the flyover, come off, and just try to have a glimpse of the lights of the venue where the event was taking place. And I will not joke. At that instant, I thought the flyover was going to break down, because the reverberation of the people, the chanting of the people, the noise that was made, it was shaking everything. And this was only a man. But everybody wanted to know what's special with him. Everyone was drawn to him. So I feel in this particular case, Zacchaeus was also in the same situation. But they didn't have flyovers back then, so he went up a sycamore tree. He decided to climb up the sycamore tree in order to see what was attracting about the Lord and to make rational sense out of it. But dear brethren, what he did not realize is that the Lord knew him a long time before he even thought of going to see the Lord. The Lord knew that he would be there and he would be up on that tree a long time before Zacchaeus even had the thought in his mind that I'm going to go there to see what the Lord did. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, said the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. The Lord we preach this evening is the one who is the complete creator and sustainer. No matter how much I try to rationalize, no matter how much I try to fill the blanks with my academic interests, he is the one, scripture tells us, that has created the very spirit within me. We then go on to the third part of what he wanted to do, where we see that, you know, he couldn't see the Lord because of the press. And sometimes I feel that is mentioned there because probably he didn't have any friends. There was nobody to hold a spot for him. Have we not read in scripture about the friends that took apart the roof in order to bring their friend down? And now we have the head of the publicans, a very rich man, a very powerful man, struggling to even get a glimpse. Dear brother, sister, this evening time, sometimes, are we looking for that love and connection? We're doing everything we can. We are putting our best foot forward. We are, you know, like Zacchaeus probably. We are trying to pull ourselves up by the bootstrings. We are trying to rationalize everything. And sometimes, you know, we reach a point where we are trying to break records. It's not by, you know, probably, you know, like there are materialistic records about, you know, but I have seen individually, they, you know, in office spaces, they try to see who is the best by deciding who brings the biggest box of chocolates. Everyone's craving, like Zacchaeus. And I just felt bad when I read that part, you know. He is well known in the whole city, but there was not a single person to hold him a spot. There was not one person who said, oh, Zacchaeus, because scripture clearly says that he was short of stature. Right? Everyone knew that he would not be able to see the way that he was. But nobody was willing to move aside to let him have a look. He had the constant sense of rejection where he was. But dear brothers and sisters, there is one place where you will have no rejection at all. There is one person who will hold your hand no matter what the situation is, what the scenario is, wherever you are. You know, like we read here, he was in the press, he was in the thick of the crowd. I don't know if you have seen stampedes in this country, and I hope you never have to. But some stampedes, dear brethren, you can see like a small hand reaching out, just craving, begging for anybody. Because the thing in a stampede is, if you fall, that's it. As long as you're standing, it's okay. But the minute you lose your balance and you fall, there is no way you can get up on your own without someone holding your hand. Luckily for Zacchaeus, when we go through the passage, we read that though he was little in stature. Now, this has a little bit of significance, I think, as we go through the passage. Because in Leviticus, there is a passage where it gives advice about who is allowed to serve in the presence of the Lord and who is allowed to bring an offering in the presence of the Lord. And one of the characteristics that disqualify a person from coming in and serving and offering to the Lord in the book of Leviticus is if you're a dwarf. Now, I don't know whether he was a dwarf here, but because scripture says that he was short of stature, I think as we go to the next verse where the Lord went into his house, it makes a big significant difference. Now, what happened to Zacchaeus? So, he was one, lacking self-worth. He was looking for meaning and purpose, trying to rationalize things. He wanted love and connection. And finally, he was trying to find acceptance for who he was. Now, here's the part where the Lord sees him. So, verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, the word make haste over there stands out to me just as a reminder that hell is very real. Dear friends, there is a place that we would love for you to come. But unlike Zacchaeus, if you choose not to take action, and if you choose not to make haste, and if you choose that my plans and my visions will work out the way that I want it to do, I just want to remind you that hell is a very real place. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We have different examples from scripture when we read about Lazarus and the rich man. There's clear evidence that there is a place that you will reach if you choose not to accept the Lord as your Savior. And that place is hell. Now, thankfully, in this particular case, we see that obviously the Lord saw him. And the Lord said, come down. Now, again, in my own reference, the word come down there, he was up a sycamore tree, right? Now, I haven't seen any sycamore trees here, but from what I have read, it was a type of fig tree that was also known as the poor man's tree, because it was so common. It was not like the cedars of Lebanon. It was not a prestigious or a valuable tree. It was just a tree. Now, the head of the publicans, the rich man, the one who was all high and mighty, had to climb up this humble tree in order to get a view of the Lord. And the Lord told him, come down. Now, there are many meanings to this we can interpret. But I would like to look at it as a verse of saying, just humble yourself. You might be the very best at what you do. You might be the best student in class, right? Always A plus. You might be the best neighbor to whoever is next to you. But in the presence of the Lord, what we need to realize is Christ died for you individually, right? And when he has died for you individually, you must realize the value of that death. No matter how good I am, no matter how great I am, no matter who I try to prop myself up to be, all I can do is come with a broken heart into the presence of Christ. All I can do is humble myself in his presence, because the Creator and Sustainer chose to die for me. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we read, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." For those of you who were gathered in the morning today, we remembered that the Lord who died for us, he knew no sin, he had no sin, he did no sin. Yet for you, he chose to die on that cross. I've heard some people say, what will my friends think? What will my family think? What will people online think? What will my neighbors think? My dear friend, it doesn't matter what others think. Don't think of yourself to be in a position in the mind and hearts of the people around you. Don't elevate yourself to that level where the pride in your mind stops you from receiving the free gift of Christ. The Lord said, come down. Just humble yourself. And what happened? This is so beautiful, because what happened as soon as Zacchaeus came down? And verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When we look at the salvation that has been freely given to us, by God's grace, we live in the dispensation of grace now. There is no immediate cause and effect punishment. There is no rod striking us down as we walk down the road. But that does not mean that there is no just God. The just and righteous God has made a way for us, has provided the path for us, and given us the opportunity that if we make haste, and if we choose to come down and humble ourselves in our presence, then he is more than willing and able to save. Acts 16 and verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave him he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Dear brother, sister, dear children for that matter. Scripture tells us clearly that the Lord is knocking. Yeah? In Revelation 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. To you and me today, that is our window of opportunity. The Lord is standing at the door of our hearts and knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to enjoy true fellowship with every single creation that he... That was the purpose for which we were created. But the more we harden ourselves and the more we lock ourselves in under the assumption that, okay, I'm going to let him in next Tuesday, it may not work. Scripture tells us, Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends, dear children, remember, we were all sinners, right? For those of you who know Winston Churchill, I'm always impressed with the way that he handled situations, and I love to read his books. And there was an incident where a dignitary was in the Queen's palace, a foreign dignitary, and decided to conveniently pick up a solid gold salt shaker and put it in her pocket. For whatever moment or whatever reason. And then everyone in the palace got alarmed because this was from George III's time or something. And they went up to the Queen and they said, what are we going to do? And Winston Churchill was there and he told the Queen, don't worry, I'll handle it. And he picked up a solid gold pepper shaker and put it in his pocket. And then after a while, as the events of the day went on, he saw this person. It said that it was a lady, I don't know. He saw this person standing by the window. And he walked up to her, quietly pulled out the pepper shaker and said, I think we both have been caught. We better put it back before we get in trouble. The reason he did that, because he knew fully well that if anyone went and said, oh, you have a salt shaker in your bag, they're going to be accused. They're going to be defensive. But he put them himself in that place. And dear children, brothers and sisters, every single believer that you see here has been in that space. We have all been in that place. It's not like anyone was born pure and pious, holy with a halo behind the head. We were all born in sin. But the good news that we want to share with you today is that there is a way out. The price has been paid in full so that today you can experience the joy of salvation. Sin came into the world, death by sin. The only price that could have been paid was the precious, sinless blood of Christ on the cross. He shed his blood, was buried in the tomb, defeated death and the grave, and reigns high today for you and me. What more do we need? Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'll give you one more example before I close. I love my examples. It just makes things so simple. But this example is not a very pretty one. In 2021, for those of you who are watching the news, there was a huge withdrawal of armed forces from Afghanistan. And they had these massive cargo flights that were taking people out of the country nonstop because they were given a 24-hour window to leave. So the flights, the cargo flights, they stripped it bare and just filled it with people, and the flights were taking off. But do you know what was hurtful? Probably go back and watch it at your own discretion. hundreds, if not thousands, of people at the door trying to get in. Some of them said, I am the minister of finance of whatever. Sorry, flight is full. Doors are closed. I know the chief minister of so and so. Sorry, flight is full. Doors are closed. My wife and children are inside. Sorry, flight is closed. Flight is full. I've got all the riches. I've got gold. I've got bars of gold. I'll give you 10 kilos of gold. Just let me on the flight. Sorry. The doors are closed. And finally, there was a video of some young, mighty men, really strong, wrestlers. They decided, okay, I'll get onto the flight by myself. And as the flight was taxiing down the runway, they all went and grabbed hold of the wheels. But dear believers, dear brethren, it was a shock to see them falling down like little parcels of food aid into the desert as soon as the flight took off. I don't mean to alarm you. That's not the point of that story. But it is to make you realize the reality that time is fleeting. It is to help you realize that you have the opportunity right now. In this passage, the very first verse, Jesus entered and passed through. By God's grace, we are in that window of opportunity now. Zacchaeus made use of his window of opportunity, and I trust you will too this evening. Verse 10, one line that summarizes the entire message today. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray and we'll close with a song after. Abba Father, Lord, we thank you.